Well, good morning. I'm glad that you've decided to tune in to Wyndham Community Chapel's service of December 13th, 2020. This is the third Sunday of Advent as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening with us this morning from your home or wherever you may be listening to this podcast. As we spend time together in the presence of God and with His Word, I pray that this service will be a blessing to you and that God will speak to you and help you where you are at. I want to encourage you, if you live in the area, to come out on Sunday mornings to worship with us. We gather for worship on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning. We have safety protocols in place, including face masks and 6-foot social distancing that will provide a safe and secure environment for you and for your family. However, I know that there are some who are highly compromised physically and unable to come and join us in gathered worship. And we just want you to know that you're missed, your presence is missed, your voice is missed, and we look forward to the day when we can all safely gather once again. Well, today we are called into worship from God's Word in Isaiah chapter 12. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Would you pray with me as we commit our time to the Lord? Father, in this Advent season, we prepare to welcome Christ Jesus, our Messiah, into the crazy days of 2020 and the divided nation that we live in. We prepare to welcome Christ Jesus, our Messiah, into our homes. In our specific life situations, we prepare to welcome Christ Jesus, our Messiah, into our hearts and those often hidden parts of our lives. We prepare to welcome Christ Jesus, our Messiah. Lord, in our time together this morning, receive our songs of praise and prayers of adoration. For You alone are worthy of our praise, because You alone have provided the way of eternal life through sacrificing Your Son to pay the price of our salvation. Draw our hearts to Yours this morning, and may we see You in all of Your glory. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, I just want to bring to you a few reminders. We have begun our Gift of Hope this Christmas season in partnership with the Branches Pregnancy Resource Center. We are providing Christmas presents for some deserving folks in our area. And so you've been invited to share in this gift giving by taking a star off the Christmas tree at church, buy the present that's listed, wrap it, put the star back on the outside of the present, and bring it back, placing it under the Christmas tree by Sunday, December 20th. There are a few stars left on the tree and are available for anyone who wishes to take one. Just give me a call here at the church or stop by and pick one of those up, and just remember to bring it back Sunday, December 20th. Our Ladies Bible Study is on sabbatical until January 13th on Tuesday mornings, and our Men's Bible Study will begin on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, beginning January 6th. And then don't forget about the Christmas Eve service, December 24th, 6 p.m. here at the church. It'll be a service of Christmas carols, of communion together, and of finishing up our sermon series, Name Above All Names. It'd be a great service to come and invite family and friends to come and join that to start your Christmas celebration, Christmas Eve, here at the church, 6 p.m. Well, this morning as we go to prayer, I invite you to join with me as we pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You for meeting with us today. Thank you for your loving care of us and sovereign control over our world. Thank you that you reign in righteousness and will return one day for us. Particularly during this Advent season, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the peace of Christ to reign in us. In days of uncertainty because of the pandemic and in days of turmoil due to political unrest, we need your peace more than ever. In fact, everything around us threatens to rob us of the peace of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. We are prone to let our life circumstances dominate our thinking and emotions. We tend to focus on everything that isn't right with this world and slip into cynicism or anger or fear. But today, we're reminded that Jesus Christ came to this earth to bring us peace with you, our God, through the gift of salvation. In times past, you recognized our lost spiritual condition and acted by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem us and secure our eternal peace. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. Help us to live contented lives in your peace. Help us to be peacemakers in all our relationships here on this earth. Help us to direct people to find the same peace with God that we have through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May your peace reign in our lives and in our world. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Joe Conroy in his battle with cancer. As he undergoes daily radiation treatments, I pray that you will strengthen him and give him tolerance for the treatments. I ask you encourage him and give him your peace. We also want to pray for all those who are experiencing illness or loneliness or financial hardships or fractured relationships. I pray they will look to you and your word for wisdom and direction. I pray your Holy Spirit will guide them to your will as they trust in you and not their own understanding. We also want to pray for Larry Giard, who had surgery this past week, and for the successful surgery that it was. Father, I pray for quick healing for him. I pray, God, that your peace would reign in his life. And Father, in the next few moments as we open your word, would you help us to hear from you through the words that I speak? Give me clarity of thought and sensitivity to your spirit as I preach. Speak into our lives right where we are and with just what we need. Help us to listen with open hearts and desperation of will. Change lives today as we turn in obedience to you, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this being the third Sunday, third week of Advent, this week we ponder God's promise of peace. We long for the peace that causes nations and families to live in harmony. We pray for the Prince of Peace to reconcile our sinful lives to a peaceful God. Listen again to God's Christmas promise of peace in Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. God of our hearts, we earnestly pray for peace today. From a world in chaos, you can bring order. From great conflict, you can bring friendship. From competition, you can bring cooperation. Come into our lives during this Christmas season with great tidings of great joy. Remind us that peace is available in you to all who seek after it. Lift up our eyes from this earth to your glory in heaven. May your peace reign in our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we're again looking in Isaiah chapter 9. During this Advent season, we're focusing upon Isaiah's prophetic announcement of the coming Savior of the world. He describes Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The name of Jesus is powerful and life-changing. In fact, at the mention of Jesus' name, everyone in heaven and on earth will bow in reverence. Today, we focus upon Jesus as the Mighty God. Have you ever had a flat tire and gone to get the spare only to find that the spare was flat too, or that you didn't have one? Have you ever needed help with a simple project like installing a hot water heater or painting your family room or the drain in your shower is clogged? Have you ever been traveling and lost your way? You get turned around and lost. You have to stop and ask for directions. It's not a fun feeling, is it? Several years ago, James Kim and his wife Katie and their two young daughters left San Francisco on November 18th for a combined vacation and work trip. They spent Thanksgiving in Seattle with family and then went on to Portland, Oregon to visit with a family member. After the visit in Portland, the family intended to take Highway 42 over the coast but missed the turnoff. So they decided to drive the 55 miles down Interstate 5 to Grants Pass. There they turned onto Bear Camp Road, which is lightly traveled even in the summer and is often closed in the winter. Well, it was stormy, and James mistakenly turned off onto a logging road later that evening. They were soon winding up into the mountains where they reached the higher elevations where it began to snow. The family became hopelessly lost and finally stranded in the snow. Well, the Kim family ran the engine of their station wagon to power its heater until all the gas was gone. They ate what little food they had, and Katie Kim breastfed the two daughters. After a week of being stranded, James decided to venture out on foot to seek help. Well, James Kim put himself through a desperate ordeal, climbing down a ravine over shoulders and over boulders and logs, and though nearly impenetrable brush and in and out of icy creeks, and one of the rescue leaders called a superhuman effort to save his family. But Katie and the girls were spotted 2 days after James had left to look for help. But James' body was found 2 days after his family had been rescued. The Kim family had become lost. They had become absolutely dependent on others for their rescue. Over 100 rescue workers had searched for them. Even a satellite had been turned to the area in hopes of finding James. It's not hard to to get lost, especially on some of the back roads, even if you have GPS. And it's much easier to lose our way spiritually. We need someone who can rescue us. We need someone who can save us. Last week, we discovered that Jesus is our wonderful counselor. And today, we're going to discover that he is our mighty God. The verse we're using as our text is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where Isaiah prophesied about Jesus' birth with these words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The prophecy of the coming Christ was given hundreds of years before his birth. And this prophecy of Jesus' birth tells us that this child would not be ordinary, but extraordinary. He is a mighty God who is able to rescue you. He is a mighty God who is able to save you. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Jesus is our mighty God because he knows where you are and understands your spiritual condition. He knows what roads you have traveled. He knows what turns you have made. He knows what dead-end streets you have been down. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Do you remember the story of the woman at the well? Do you remember how the conversation went? Jesus comes to the well and finds a Samaritan woman there. He speaks to her and asks her for a drink of water. She is taken back because it was not proper for a Samaritan and a Jew to hold a conversation. But the conversation keeps going and they continue to talk about water. Jesus tells her he can give her living water and that she will never thirst again. She becomes interested and says, "Give me some." Do you remember what happens next? Jesus tells her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman is put on the spot. Her lifestyle is exposed. She says, "I have no husband." Jesus doesn't leave it at that, but he even exposes her lifestyle even more. For he says to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Jesus knows her life. Jesus knows her heart. Her lifestyle is completely exposed to him. He knows what she has done and with whom. Folks, here's the scary part. He knows the same about you and me. He knows what roads you have traveled. He knows what turns you have made. He knows what dead-end streets you have been down. He knows the times you have lost your way. And he still loves you. Jesus knows right where you are. He doesn't need a search party. He doesn't need a satellite. He knows the spiritual shape you are in because he is a mighty God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know where you are? Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? Do you remember what happened after they ate the forbidden fruit? God comes to the garden and calls out, "Adam, where are you?" Do you really think that God did not know the answer to that question? Of course he did. God knew right where Adam was. But part of reaching safety is knowing right where you are. Part of reaching safety is knowing that you are lost, that you have made some bad decisions. When the researchers, with the rescuers, found the body of James Kim, they backtracked his trail. Do you know what they found? James had come within less than a mile of a lodge that had been closed for the winter. Inside there would have been safety. Inside there would have been food and warmth. James had made a decision to turn off the road and travel across country to seek safety. If he had just continued down the road, he would have reached the lodge, but he made a decision to leave the road. That decision cost him his life. Do you know where you are this morning? Jesus is also our mighty God because he knows what shape you're in. He knows your spiritual condition. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? The son goes off and takes his inheritance and spends it all. He ends up broke, dirty, and down. He ends up out in a pig pen feeding the swine. He becomes so hungry that even the pig food starts looking good. But then he starts thinking, if I return to my father, maybe he will give me a job as a simple servant. I know that my father's servants are doing better than I am here. So he gets up and he heads for home. And the Bible tells us that while the son was a long way off, the father saw him coming, and he ran out to greet him. He grabbed him, hugged him, welcomed him back home. All the time, the son is trying to apologize, but the father shouted out, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found." Have you ever thought about the shape that the prodigal son was in when he returned home? I'm sure he was thinner. I'm sure he was dirtier. And I'm sure he had a smell about him. Yet the father loved him just the same. What shape are you in? God knows. He not only knows where we have been, but he knows what shape we are in. He knows that we are thinner. He knows that we are dirty and the smell of sin is still on us. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And a little while later, Paul captures the struggle that we all face, that we all struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7. He writes, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Each and every one of us is in bad shape. Jesus knows that, and he loves us just the same. Someone has said God loves us just the way we are. but he loves us too much to leave us that way. God knows what shape we are in, and he is willing to bring us in and build us up. What a mighty God we have. Well, Jesus is also our mighty God because he knows how much time you have left on earth. Folks, here is a simple fact. I don't know how much time you have left on this earth. Only God knows. I don't know how much time I have left to live. Only God knows. I do know that the average white male in America right now lives to 76 years old. If I live to the average age, that means I only have about 13 years left. But I may not live that long, or I could live longer. My dad is 91, and his brothers all lived into their 90s. Both sets of my grandparents lived into their 90s, but there's no guarantee that I will. More often these days, I find myself doing funerals for people my age, my contemporaries. I suspect this percentage will only increase as the years go by. I know that in my ministry career, I have conducted over 150 funerals. Some of them were quite young, just days old. Some of them were over 100 years old. All of this to say, I don't know how much time any of us have on earth. But I do know this, that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. This verse from Hebrews does not talk about the number of days a person will live, but it does talk about what happens after we die, and that is judgment. It seems to me that we should be more concerned about the judgment than we are about how long we live. God knows how long we will walk this earth. Our concern needs to be about how well we do on the final exam. That day will determine whether we will walk the streets of gold. That day will determine whether we will live forever. Our mighty God knows how much time we have left. Let us make the best use of it. Well, Jesus is also our mighty God because he knows the efforts you have gone to in order to attempt to save yourself. He knows your spiritual work history. Let me ask you, how many of you try to be good? How many of you try to do the right thing? Now, let me ask you, how many of you are always successful? Yeah, I thought so. Me too. Can you say mission impossible? James Kim tried to do the right thing. He not only wanted to save himself, but he also wanted to save his wife and two little girls. But his efforts failed. His wife and daughters were saved not by his efforts, but by the efforts of the rescuers. His efforts fell short, even though he gave it his all. One rescue leader called his efforts superhuman, but it still did not save his family. When it comes to being saved, we are at the mercy of someone else. Look at what the Message Bible says about the idea that we can save ourselves. Saving is all God's idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. An old tale tells the story of a man who died, and as he approached heaven's gates, he was met by the angel Gabriel. The angel said, "Here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you have done, and I will give them a certain number of points for each of them." The more good there is in the work you cite, the more points you will get for it. When you get to 100 points, in you go. "Okay," the man said. "I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, even in my heart." Gabriel replied, "That's wonderful. That's worth 3 points.
3 points," said the man.
"Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my money and service."
"Terrific," said Gabriel. "That's certainly worth 1 point."
1 point, said the man, with his eyes beginning to show a little bit of panic.
"Well, how about this? I opened a shelter for the homeless in my city and fed needy people by the hundreds during the holidays."
"Fantastic. That's good for 2 more points, said the angel.
2 points, cried the man in desperation. "At this rate, the only way I will get to heaven is by the grace of God."
Gabriel said, "Come on in." Folks, know our effort. God knows the efforts that we make. He knows how hard we have tried. But only He can save. Only He can rescue us. It doesn't matter how good you have been. You still need a Savior. He is also our mighty God who can save. And He knows that you need Him. The Bible says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." But folks, here's the important part. Your rescuer will not come unless you call on Him. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 10. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I like the way the Message Bible says it. "Everyone who calls, 'Help, God,' gets help." And here's the sad fact. Not everyone who gets lost gets found. James Kim died. He made a valiant effort to save his family and himself. He is to be commended for that. He gave it his best shot. He gave it his best effort, and he died in the process. Physically, his life ended. But here is the good part. I also know that if James called on the name of Jesus, he was saved spiritually. For everyone who calls, "Help, God," gets help. Well, how about you? Have you ever called out, "Help, God"? You see, Jesus is our mighty God. He has the power to seek and to save those who are lost. Where are you? Are you lost? Have you taken a wrong turn? Call to Him and He will come and find you. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Lord, You are our mighty God who rescues us from our spiritually lost condition. You are our mighty God who provides salvation to us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we could not rescue ourselves, You stepped in and sent Jesus as our substitute to pay the price of our eternal life. During this Advent season particularly, help us to recognize that You are our mighty God who withheld nothing to rescue us. Help us to live in obedience and devotion to the One who died for us and rescued us from our terminal sin condition. You are worthy of our praise and of our lives. Lord, help us to surrender both to You this Advent season, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we close this podcast with God's benediction from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth
of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and give you a great week.